God's design for marriage is found in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Welcome to By Design from American Family Radio.
And thank you for listening to By Design on American Family Radio, one of our newest radio programs produced by AFR on our weekend programming. And we're grateful that you've taken the time to join us. I know that we launched this a couple weeks, couple months back, and we're just really excited about the long-term effect that we can have, AFA and AFR, of coming together with a radio program and a project to promote the beauty of marriage and the benefits thereof, and just to remind people that this is the way God designed it. And while there are difficulties and there are challenges, the overall arching benefit and beauty of marriage is the way God designed it. And so we're grateful for you to tune in with us. You can go to afa.net/bydesign. That's afa.net/bydesign, or just go to afa.net and there's a tab. You can't miss it at the top. So thank you for joining in with us. Now, one thing I want to tell our audience is y'all are going to have to quit telling people that you like Chelsea more than you like me. This is just getting out of hands. Every time I talk to somebody about By Design, they're like, "When did Chelsea start doing radio?" So Chelsea,
very recently.
Well, come up to the mic. Let me help you so they can hear you a little better.
Hey, y'all. It's good to be with you again this afternoon. And we have some special guests today, and we're really excited about that.
Yes, we do. We have some, and I'm going to let you introduce them in just a minute. But before we do, we have had Chelsea. I've talked to several people that, including your mom. Now, I know your mom's biased, but she really likes this radio program. So if you like this radio program, let us know. You can go to our Facebook page, or you can go online, or you can just go to our FAQ email address, and you can let us know, and I'll get you those here soon. So
FAQ@AFA.net.
Wow. That's why you compliment me. You help me out. So thank you for doing that, Chelsea. We want to hear from you, so let us know. A lot of good compliments, a lot of good feedbacks from this programming. So now, Chelsea, we have special guests today, and we're going to talk about a topic that is not very common for your coffee pot discussions, or for that you would hear in a sermon or lesson. And so I'm really excited to have this, have our guest in here today.
Yes, this is a discussion that definitely should be talked about more amongst the church, amongst believers. And we are so excited to have Ann and Will Cockrell with us today.
Is that Will with two L's or one L?
Two.
All right.
Yes, Ann works in our donor support area, and she does a fabulous job. And then Will works at a local family business, correct?
That's right.
All right.
Well, before we get into it, we've got a long program and a lot of deep stuff to talk about. So before we do, tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I work at Cockrell Banana, which is a produce company
that
my great-grandfather started in the 30s.
Okay.
I knew it was in your family, but I didn't know how long. Yeah. Okay, that's really awesome.
Yeah, so we're getting about 90 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, 90 years. So what does it look for you? Is it 8 to 5 or is it 3 to 1? What's your schedule look like?
More like 5 to 1.
5 to 1.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we get up early.
Sometimes get earlier early. Than that.
Yeah, sometimes earlier.
Wow.
4 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, because you got produce, right? So you got to get it there.
Yeah,
is that,
those folks,
is that primarily
they want it early. I don't mind getting off.
Yeah, you know, early
taking
too.
A nap
exactly,
sometimes.
Before Ann gets
yeah.
home.
Yeah, that's right.
Ann, and then tell our audience a little bit about what you do here at AFA.
Okay, I work, like Chelsea said, in donor support, and I get to talk to our donors all day long. And
good and bad.
Good and bad.
It's mostly all good.
Yeah. We have the sweetest support system for AFA, and so they call and brag on our radio people all the time, and literally they're always like, "When's Share-a-thon? I can't wait to come back." So,
and you've had experience with a lot of them, or I know a lot of ladies in donor support, of them calling in and praying with you on the phone.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I literally, one day, actually someone brought up foster care, and I was just open with her, and I told her,
"Wow,
we foster." And she literally asked me, she's like, "Can I pray for you and your husband right now?"
That's so, the kind of listeners, supporters we have.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful. That's our topic for today with Ann and Will is foster care. And we are going to touch on a lot of topics, and we're already losing ground. So I feel like we just need to jump in.
Okay, Wes? Okay. I just wanted our audience to get to know them as well as they know
for
us. But
sure.
It's hard to do in a couple minutes. So today the discussion is going to be on foster care. care. So what is foster care? Because a lot of times people get that confused with adoption.
Yeah, I think that's what, when we were telling people we were getting approved to foster, people were thinking we were mostly getting approved to adopt.
Right.
And so you...
That was my thought.
Yeah.
So that's just how my mind worked. Right, I didn't know any better.
I mean, before you know much about foster care, you don't know anything about foster care.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, a lot of people were assuming we were doing this just to adopt. And obviously you can adopt through foster care if need be. But for Mississippi, Mississippi is a reunification state, first of all. And so that is the goal until the goal is not. And, you know, if the child just isn't able to be in a situation where they're able to go back home, our house is technically open foster to adopt. So
most of the time it's not that, or in y'all's case, it's not that y'all didn't want to adopt the kids you were fostering. It's because it wasn't an option.
Right. Yeah. And I'll say this to that. Whenever we were first getting into it, I remember some friends of ours who had done it for a few years, and had actually adopted.
Okay.
At that
they
time.
Had that experience.
But they had told us, you know, don't do it to adopt. Don't do it to start a family, because fostering is so much more.
Okay, you know? Good point. That's helpful.
And so I just remember them saying that, and that was great advice.
And now that I'm thinking about it, and y'all got more experience this than we have, or we don't have any experience with this, and y'all know a lot more about it than we do. So would that primarily be because you wouldn't want to get so attached, only for them to have to go back to their family, or what was the wisdom behind that?
To me, that's I could go on and on about that because I could give a long answer, but maybe the short answer, because Anne's got a shirt that says "Get Too Attached."
Yeah,
is a common, maybe not excuse, but reason that people don't want to go into that. So I'm so glad that y'all are touching on that. That is not a reason not to.
For sure.
So,
well said. They're trying to read each other for those that can't see. They're being polite and not. But when they get in the car, we know who's in charge.
That's right.
Right.
So a lot of people say, "Oh, I just don't know how you do it. My heart would just get so attached, I wouldn't be able to give them back." And I totally get that. But supposedly, that's when you're the best foster parent ever, is when you get too attached, because these children. Are children that need someone to love them like a mama and a daddy should love a baby. It should love a child. And so we hope that we offer that love and that even commitment to the kids that are in our house right now and to the kids who have been previously in our house.
Sure.
And really, we just hope to show them Jesus.
And going back to what you just said, we just want to show them Jesus. What was y'all's initial conversation, and how did you and Will initially come to the realization this is something
y'all better
that
look
God
at each other
is,
and get this right?
That God is calling us to, because it is definitely a calling. So give us a little bit of that background story.
Well, the way I remember it, I've always wanted to foster. I just remember even in high school, I don't remember how the idea came about, but hearing about foster care, and I just remember literally thinking, like, how much more like Jesus can you get? You're literally putting your heart on the line. You're giving the clothes off your back, food to the hungry, as you're opening your home up to strangers. And you're not just opening your home up to these children. You're supposed to be loving on this biological family at the same time. And so, honestly, sometimes that's a really hard part of it, because they live probably a lot different than we do most of the time. And so I think we brought it up the first time seriously a year into marriage. I remember we were actually on our one-year anniversary trip, and I was like, okay, I wouldn't mind if we got started fostering soon. And Will was like, hold your horses. Yeah. So, but anyway, I think he came to me. I just remember praying for you and praying for us if this was something that we were going to pursue, that I was not in any way going to try to push him to foster. Like, can you imagine getting pushed into welcoming kids into your home? And so anyway,
you got to be unanimous on that one.
Yeah. And I wanted him to be the lead in that. And so I just prayed for us, and we prayed together about it. And probably like a year and a half later, you came to me and you were like, hey,
yeah,
I feel like it's time to at least learn more about it. So
Good job, Will.
Yeah.
Seriously, that was awesome, man. Being taken up and being the leader in your house, and that, especially in this category, taking the time to pray for something that's your wife's desire, and then all of a sudden it becomes yours.
Yeah.
It's delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's exactly what you did, Ann. Praise God for that. So, we've got things we want to talk about. We got some questions, but feel free if y'all something comes up and you say we want to make sure we cover this. We've got about 20 minutes left, or 18 minutes left. So, if there's something we're not getting to, let us know. But my question would be, what are some of the primary reasons that kids end up in foster care or homes? Or
you
want to
take this one?
Yeah,
sure. You know, a lot of the primary reasons, neglect, or their parents are involved in drugs, alcohol abuse or physical abuse, sexual abuse. You know, as far as we know a little bit of that process of when a child is taken from the home because of calls from social workers and stuff like that when we've gotten the cases we've gotten. It is always a traumatic thing for those children.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 4 and 5 year old now who will tell you all about it in a 4 and 5 year old way.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
They can't give you all the details, but man, it's kind of breaking your heart as they're telling you. And they're just talking like, hey, this happened,
yeah.
You know.
Like everyday conversation.
Yeah. But it's actually a very traumatic thing for them that they'll probably deal with. The rest of their life.
Sure they will.
Hopefully not the rest of their life, but for some time. So,
during those hard times where you see those conversations happen in your home with your 4 and 5 year old that you have placed there now, what are some of the things that have maybe been a win for you guys? You know, I know that it is hard, you know, having those conversations, but what is a time where you look at each other and you go, man, I'm so glad that they're in our home. I'm so glad that we are pouring into their life. If you could just give us a small example.
This, to me, it might be a small example, but one thing that, like, I just remember, it was kind of just a difficult day, maybe, but the 5-year-old just randomly started singing Good, Good Father.
Huh.
And, you know, he doesn't know all the words,
right.
But just started singing. And there was one other song he loves. It's not coming to me right now.
That's it. Grace to Gardens.
Yeah,
nothing
Grace
is better than you.
Yeah. He'll just randomly start singing, Lord, there's nothing better than you. And I'm just like.
He doesn't have to have the music in the background.
No.
Wide
no,
open.
He will just. Yeah. Oh, he will start
awesome.
Singing anytime.
Yeah.
He'll be in the bed at nighttime. Oh, there's nothing.
Yeah.
But anyway, that, I know that might sound simple, but like.
That's huge. That's a lifetime impact that y'all are making and a kingdom impact for these kids.
Yeah,
you know, they're
going
to remember. Those songs. I know songs from years and years and years ago. So I know that those babies are going to take those songs, you know, back into their home and hopefully influence their parents.
Yeah. That's
when
they're
reunified.
Yeah. That's the evidence and the fruit of the seed that you already planted, too.
Yeah.
So that's reassurance to you.
For sure. And they both can say the Lord's Prayer by heart
they can
now.
Say the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. Used to get that mixed up with
the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We just got that separated.
Yeah. That's too funny. That's great. Hey, let's get into a little bit. We may come back to y'all's current experience with it, but let's get into a little bit more of the logistics because we're going to have some people listening that are moved by this and they're going to want to consider this, and or maybe some people have already been praying about it, and this radio program is their confirmation from God. So, what does it look like day one? Like, how does it, where do you begin?
Whew, day one. So with our latest case that we have, we can't say like specifics, but we got a call about 30 minutes before these two kiddos came to our home.
I was working
from home that afternoon. I was doing some extra work, and I had sat down and got on my computer about 4:30 maybe, and Will was outside working out, and I got a call, and this is an assistant from the judge's office, and she called me and she's like, hey, I hear that they're coming to your house, because we already knew these kids from last year. They were actually in our home last year too, and I was like, no, I didn't know that. And she's like, oh, Well, the social worker should be calling you soon. So anyway, we knew about 30 minutes before they came. It's not usually that way, but that was an emergency situation. With our other kiddo, we have a almost one-year-old there too. And I knew 2 days, we got the call the day he was born, and yes. Then we picked him up from the hospital 2 days later. So
gotcha.
Wow.
We had 48 hours to get ready for a newborn.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot very fast. I know that y'all had talked about kind of the steps to get into fostering. Can you just touch very quickly on maybe a few of those, who to contact? I know it's going to be different with every state. Yeah. We have listeners all across the nation. But how can you get started in Mississippi?
The first thing, just like anything like this, you got paperwork. You got forms to fill out.
Because they're going to check you. They're going to make sure that you're
walking
the straight and narrow.
You got interviews. You got background checks. And then you have training that you go through once you do all that. And that's, what would you say, 6 months? I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes not as long as 6 months, but these social workers are so overworked, even the ones just doing office work. It sometimes takes longer, but about 6 months. And it kind of depends on how long it takes you to get the paperwork done.
Right.
I think you have a certain amount of days that, you're given paperwork on this day, and I can't remember. I want to say maybe 70, 75 days before you have to get that paperwork turned back in or it goes void. But you can call DHS for any state, and that's how you can kind of get directed to the site for that state to start paperwork.
So then each state would be different in this process?
The
like you said, AFA. You said Mississippi was a what did you say?
A reunification state.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some alternatives to that? What are some other states?
Some states are very pro-adoption.
Okay. Right out of the chute.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we have good friends in Arkansas, yeah. And they actually adopted through foster care, but there's a lot more orphans in Arkansas than there are in Mississippi.
Okay.
Because
Mississippi's need is great.
And yeah. But it's because the process is longer, they're needing more adoptions because they're not so reunification oriented like Mississippi is. So
what are some of the kind of different, I always thought adoptions all the same. Is there different types of adoptions?
Yeah.
That's probably a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
Hey.
But within foster care, is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean, yeah.
From my understanding, it's an open or closed adoption.
Okay.
And that would be up to the foster family and how much discussion and paperwork before that. But from my understanding, it would be open to the biological family still being involved or not.
So, from start to finish, when y'all got the call, was that just temporary, or was that were y'all the official foster care parents from that point to further notice? Does that make sense?
It's temporary until the next court date. So with the last case, we got the call that night, and I had to be at court, or we had to be at court the next morning at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, there's always court within 24 hours
initial placement.
When a child's taken,
Gotcha.
Unless it's on a weekend.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to American Family Radio and the new program called By Design. We are so grateful to have Ann and Will in the studio with us to talk about their experience foster caring. And with By Design, we just want to talk about all things family, the way God designed it, marriage between one man and one woman for life, and within that is a family. And people choose, there's a lot of alternative ways to grow your family, and one way is foster care. And it's, as Ann mentioned in the first part of the segment, it couldn't be any more closer to the way that Jesus loves us, is the way that you can love someone through foster caring. And it's a Christian witness to a lot of people that you've sacrificed a lot. And were you wanting to say something?
Oh, I was just agreeing.
You were just in agreement?
How I love you, Jesus.
So you were saying yes. Amen.
That's right,
yes,
Wesley.
Amen. Thank you. Good.
Well, I was just going to ask them, so I know that you guys have mentioned some social workers, some judges. Obviously, you guys as foster parents, who are some other key players in this process that you work with trying to reunify these children?
Man, the first thing I think of, there's a lot of people involved, but as far as, for us is our support system.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Oh, for sure. Our friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. everybody that says, oh, I couldn't do it, you know, then my answer is, well, I couldn't either.
Right. Yeah, by yourself.
But you're
yeah,
doing
but,
it. Yeah.
But yeah, but I, yeah, we don't do it by ourselves. No. You know, we got incredible
parents
first of all, yeah, mm-hmm. and then sisters, friends, you know, and then extended family. I mean,
that's the way God designed it.
Yeah, everybody.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's by design. That's the way God designed it. And I think about Chelsea and our family. We've experienced a loss through miscarriage, and our family was there just as much as they were when we had our first baby.
Yeah, for sure.
So having family is important. And for those that are listening, if you've got someone, a friend or a family or someone that you know that is fostering a child or maybe multiple children, this is a good reminder for yourself and for mine and Chelsea's self that we need to do things to help support those that are fostering because of all the additional challenges that are not there with having children of your own.
Right.
So what are some challenges that y'all face fostering?
Well, and maybe along with those challenges, how can we help?
That was my next question. You stole it.
She's so good at that.
She went right to the meat. I mean, she's like, boom.
I mean, my first thing, so like the night that I the weekend we got called about baby boy who's about to be one, immediately we had a food chain set up.
Nice.
We had people I didn't even know text me saying, hey, I just dropped off diapers. Hey, I just dropped off a bathtub. Hey, you know, here's clothes, you know. So many people that I couldn't keep up with, like, thanks. I don't know who to thank right now. And so we had people, friends from high school that I hadn't talked to in such a long time, send us gifts too, you know, just
awesome.
Through Amazon. And so anyway.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then people offering to babysit. That's always helpful. But some of the challenges, I think where I kind of get, honestly, just being real worn out sometimes are the extra visits that you have to make family. We got extra doctor's appointments and court dates, and court works as it's just a different system. They tell you to be there at 8 o'clock and you might not have court until 1, you know, so.
Which I think is why our friends advised us, you know, when you're getting into foster care, you're not getting into adoption to have a family.
Yeah. That's back to your original point. Yeah. That's why. This is one reason why.
Yeah, I mean, you got the social workers, the judge, the court, the visits.
In Mississippi, the social workers for the children, they have to come to visits twice a month. Then we have a resource worker who she has to come for a visit once a month.
Mm.
Yeah,
there's people in our house all the time.
Yeah, we've got people.
You don't even know.
But I will say, we have a wonderful resource worker. She's so sweet. She'll actually come for a visit tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, you know what I'm hearing in all this is that none of us were there for y'all's decision-making that came to a head that y'all made this decision. But I got to think that at some point there's at least a portion, if not a lot, of faith that you just like, look, I don't, you know, we want to do this, but don't have any experience, don't know anybody. And it seems to me that at least in these couple situations that God has not only provided, but provided abundantly.
Oh, for sure.
And you talk about how people you didn't even know, you know, providing particular needs, diapers, whatever, wipes. And so I wouldn't, for our listening audience, do not let, you know, any materialistic thing or anything like that keep you from doing this. If this is something that you're pretty confident God would have you to do, something you've been considering for a while or starting to consider, because God is more than capable of providing through His church. He uses His church all the time. I wonder, do you have any idea how many people from your church got involved? Or, you know,
oh man,
you know what I mean.
Let's see. One thing that was really neat last year when we had, they were 3 and 4 last year when they came to our house. It was deep in COVID, right?
Yeah.
And so nobody was really going to church. But our Sunday school class found out about the 2 kiddos that were coming. And when I tell you, our whole living room was covered in clothes.
It gets me excited.
It was covered in clothes. And
that's so awesome.
Meals, people brought over freezer meals, brought over casseroles that had been cooked. And so sent us Tupelo to go. And so We literally saw the church come together, even though the church was not together at the time. So.
Wow. Church is not just a building. And not they, just a building. It seems like your church showed up and showed out for y'all.
Oh, they do.
That's a blessing. Well, it sounds like what Wesley, you and I need to jump on the, you know, bandwagon for helping foster families is providing a meal, providing some babysitting services so that you guys can go out and get that, you know, just breath of fresh air, and any hand-me-down clothes, diapers, wipes, if that's an appropriate time for a baby. So, yeah, guys, if you're listening, those are some tangible ways that if you're not called to foster yourself, then you can definitely support foster families that you know of. And if you don't know of one, get plugged into church. Ask if there are families, because I know very many in our church that could use our help. And so, yeah, you guys have put a burden on us, a want to go help some of those families for sure.
Yeah, we got about a minute or a minute and a half left. What are some final thoughts you want to leave with the listeners on foster care? We'll start with ladies first, and
well, kind of just backing up what Chelsea was saying is that there's so many other ways than fostering yourself to help these children and families to see Jesus. And so, anyway, I would encourage anyone who's considering this, or if it is on your heart, to just pray about it. And if it's one spouse over the other, don't push the other spouse into this. This is hard, hard, and emotionally, spiritually, physically. And so just wait for the Lord's timing, and he will answer that call.
Yeah, and anything that's that God asks us to do it the right way is never easy the whole way. The fruits and the benefits are great and they're rewarding nonetheless, but it's often difficult. So
I got a verse written down, James 1:27. It says, the gospel is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And yeah, like Anne was saying, my encouragement is that's not to convict anybody. That's just to encourage.
Yes.
And all God wants us to do is pursue him and ask him, God, if this is the gospel, what does this look like for me?
Fostering is very literally carrying out James 1:27. Is that what you said?
That's right.
That's right. 1:27. Thank y'all for being on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
And thank you for loving on those kids. I know y'all have made such a huge impact. So,
well, we'll come back here in a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. We'll have y'all back on, and we'll get an update on where y'all are in y'all's foster care. And there's a lot more we could have discussed today that we'll have y'all back on for. So thank y'all so much. Thank y'all, listening audience, for being faithful every Saturday to listen to By Design. You can find out more by going to AFR.net, and we'll see you next weekend.